listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Mary Ann Jepson, a Catholic therapist in Columbus, Ohio. The title of our show, Family Sanctuary, is a reference to Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, which Pope John Paul's encyclical letter of March 1995 is where that came from. The particular sentence from which we formed the title, I think, in a world that's, it seems at times, is becoming more and more off the rails, I think that it's very important title. It's a very important gospel, the gospel of life, Evangelium Vitae, which we refer to. And I think that with the modern threats against the family, there's no better time than now to really focus on the family, to know what the family sanctuary is and what it means and how we can continue to improve our families and form our families as a sanctuary of life that Pope John Paul II talked about back in March 1995. So I want to give you the particular sentence that caught us when we were formulating this title. And here's what Pope John Paul II said. I look with renewed confidence to every household, and I pray that at every level, a general commitment to support the family will reappear and be strengthened, so that today, too, even amid so many difficulties and serious threats, the family will always remain in accordance with God's plan, the sanctuary of life. So that's what this show is all about. And because we know it's not easy to be strong in the face of difficulties and threats against family life, it's good to know that we can have some practical tools to gird us through life. And with that, I'm happy to announce that I'm joining forces here with a very special woman. She is a Dominican sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Her name is Sister John Paul, right out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. She's also the principal at St. Michael's School in Worthington, Ohio, currently. And Sister John Paul and I are going to do a series on virtuous living because we know it can make such a difference in the lives of individuals and in the lives of families. Sometimes people think, I can't be virtuous. It's such a struggle to live like a saint or to attempt such things. And my life is so off the tracks. And how do I get back to a place where that even makes sense? Well, Sister John Paul and I are going to have a number of shows together going forward, and I'm really excited about it. I know she is too, because it's such a near and dear topic to her heart. I see things from the counselor perspective. I see problems. I work with people in their lives who struggle with serious, serious issues in their lives. And I often, in my own way, teach them about virtue. But we're bringing in the big guns here. Sister John Paul, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, focus on virtue. They teach virtue all the time to children and to adults as well. So, Sister, it's such a pleasure to have you with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
It's just so nice. I mean, God is so good, isn't he? That he's really brought us together to do this. Yeah, and so,
very generous of him.
It is. And I'm excited about it. So, anyway, I think today what we really want to focus on is becoming disciples of mercy, right?
Yes.
This is the way we've talked about it, and this makes so much sense. And it also, I will say that the Dominican Sisters have published a marvelous journal, a Disciple of Mercy journal that we will refer to. And before we get started into really talking about the practical issues of all of this, can you tell people how they might, after listening to this show, they might be able to access this journal themselves?
Absolutely. Our Disciple of Mercy journal is available on our educationinvirtue.com website. And so on the homepage, you can find a link there. You can also find it on Amazon and just look at Disciple of Mercy.
So the website is a good one. It's education, E-D-U-C-A-T-I-O-N, in
virtue.com. And that's what we're about. You know, we're trying to educate in virtue. So our education in virtue is the path here that we're taking.
Yeah, and it's a, you know, this is a path towards peace and happiness, right? Because so many of us in life, everybody's looking for happiness in one way or another, and we will parse this out over the course of our journey here in these future shows and things. How do we find happiness? Yes. What is that really about? Bottom line is it comes down to virtue, and there's so many ways to talk about virtue. There are so many angles to cover on that. Yes. So today we're really talking about how to become disciples of mercy so that we can learn virtue in our own lives, and we can practice virtue in our own lives, and we can be an example of virtue for other people,
That's
of
right.
mercy
That's
for
right.
other people. So who really needs to do this? I mean, is there some sort of call for us to do this?
That's right. Well, I mean, we know that there is a universal call to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether or not we're people of faith or not, you know, we know there is a call to goodness.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Everyone can understand we ought to do good and avoid evil. And, you know, that's at the root of going through life. We can all recognize, regardless of our sort of belief system, that we ought to do good for others. But beyond that, this idea of mercy, and I think with understanding mercy, you know, our Holy Father, many others have said, you know, Jesus is the face of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And so in becoming disciples of mercy, it's really another way of saying a disciple of Christ. We're imitating Jesus, who is mercy incarnate. So all of us are called to live this mercy. And this mercy really is another way of living love. The love that is towards someone else.
Yes.
Yes.
I love a quote from St. Faustina that mm-hmm. you mentioned to me. You want to say that quote? Because
Absolutely.
This all makes sense. It all plays together.
It all comes together, mm-hmm. you know. And I believe I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but we know that our Lord has said, you know, mankind will not achieve peace, will not come to peace until it turns to my mercy. And in a sense, it's another way of saying this happiness that all of us are longing for. You know, mm-hmm. we know we're wired for happiness. You know, why? Because we're always looking for it. You know, we're always looking for happiness. So that means there's some hardwiring in us that is searching for it, and we don't feel complete until we get it.
That's
And yeah. you know, so this movement towards happiness is ultimately something that God put into us. And that's what we're longing for, is happiness and peace. And mm-hmm. so until we sort of come full circle and eventually understand that it's God who made us, God who is our happiness, God who will bring us this peace, and then trust in him.
Trust in
this
him.
This is the mm-hmm. mercy part of it.
Yes,
trusting
it is.
Trusting in him. And then everything else follows.
And you know, Sister, trusting in God sometimes, I think particularly maybe in today's world, because we are so often independent and self-sufficient.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've got this under control kind of thing.
And the me mentality, right?
The me mentality,
myself,
the narcissism. Yeah, the narcissism of today. I see a lot of this in my practice mm-hmm. and things, how people come and they think, I've got to control this issue. I have to control mm-hmm. my spouse. If my spouse would only
yes.
do this or that, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I say to them, there's only one person that you really can change. You can't change them.
That's
you
right.
can change yourself.
That's right.
That's kind of releasing. That's opening up yourself to God's mercy. How do you, you know,
yes.
you have to be willing. It's an act of the will first to know there's a problem in my own life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to do something different. I'm looking for happiness, like you said. But it requires an openness to do something that we may not have even been thinking about. It's not like I can get my wife to work harder, or I can get her to quit watching TV, or I can lose weight, or I can work harder and make more money. That's not what this is about. We're surrendering. We're trusting in God. Talk
That's
about
right.
That.
That's right. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, right, so if we understand in a sense, who is the human person? So we first fundamentally come back to this idea that, first of all, we're all children,
mm-hmm.
right? And then mm-hmm. we move, you know, from children into other relationships. But we're all children of God. And so if at the end of the day we need to imitate Jesus and be a son, you know, of the Father or daughter of the Father, we need to be children, mm-hmm. this childlike trust of letting go, of realizing, you know, I'm not, in a sense, in charge of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is that I need to overcome in weakness or patterns of sin, I need to be able to turn to someone greater than myself, to God, in order to make that happen. And in that sort of trustful surrender, you know, at the bottom of the divine mercy image, Jesus, I trust in you,
mm-hmm.
is this letting go. And when you're freeing up that space, we can begin to take actions that open us up towards freedom, where I'm no longer in control,
mm-hmm.
and God leads me towards a path of happiness.
And I think we often look for practical ways, because in one sense, we can talk about these things, but what is it really like? How do we let go? How do we surrender control? The church has such a treasure of sacraments and things to help us to let go. Mm-hmm. The sacrament of reconciliation, to keep going back to that. That takes the virtue of humility, right? To be able to
Absolutely.
Go back and access the sacraments and repeatedly. And of course, prayer and scripture study. I think that, this Disciple of Mercy journal that the Dominican sisters have published is a very, very practical tool in helping people to know how to do this.
That's right. That's right. You know, and, you know, hopefully there are many families listening at this moment. And it's really a fruit of our apostolate, our working in schools, our meeting moms and dads that maybe weren't raised in the faith or didn't have the benefit, you know, of catechesis or CCD, you know, all those things
yes.
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they're reaching a point in their own conversion process, or now that they have children, they're trying to think of, how do I install values in them? And so in many cases, they're turning to Catholic education. Some are homeschooling, but we realized in our interacting with these families that we wanted to support that they were looking for practical,
yes.
you know, and they will
yes.
share, you know, I might not have grown up in a perfect home,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
mm-hmm.
look at the culture around us. And whenever, you know, my kids are over at a friend's house, they're seeing these things, and that's not what our family values are. So they're coming to the sisters, they're coming to church, they're looking in their faith, and they're saying, how do I hand on this faith that I didn't really know maybe in the first place?
Yes.
And so thankfully, you know, the church, being a wise mother, has passed on through the centuries, you know, actual practical tips for us that in our present day and age, there's almost kind of a rediscovery happening with a new fervor and a new joy.
And I love that so much, because there's so many people who even I went through 12 years of Catholic, actually 15 more, probably 18 years of Catholic education, and somehow did not, in my early years, have access to this. When I was
sure.
in elementary and high school, did not have access to virtue education.
Yeah, I did not either.
And I think of all of the parents who are trying to help their children during these difficult times.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing that the sisters teach this. The Dominican sisters teach this in the schools where they are.
Well, it's a privilege, yeah.
It's a privilege. So it's helping the children to get on the right track.
That's right.
And it's at the same time helping the parents to learn something that they never possibly had before. So
that's right.
This is a, you know, good in all ways.
Yes.
In all ways. And it
yes.
spreads from there, hopefully, even in times where when we talk about Catholic education and things, sometimes people think, oh, they're those holy people. If you don't send your child to Catholic
right.
schools, you know, even though you might have the parish school of religion, whatever, some people think that that's Catholic education is for these holy people or something. I know well enough that having all of my children go through Catholic education, while we strove for holiness, we often have fallen short. And in my practice, of course, I see so many families that do in sometimes major ways. Yeah. You know, the church is a church of sinners, not of saints, but we're on that journey. So this workbook is so helpful in terms of teaching and in terms of practical tools. Let's turn over this direction here for a minute.
Well, we have in the journal, there's actually three parts to the journal. So the end goal would really, first of all, to promote an encounter with Christ, but also realizing that we want to support kind of a practical approach to living the virtues and understanding mercy. So a lot of what we would say is, you know, what does it look like and sound like to follow Jesus? That would be a message. So if you're talking to little ones or not so little ones, we need to get practical because we're just human.
But you're engaging the imagination too at the time when you're saying, what does it look like and feel
that's
like?
That's right,
and
all our
that's
senses.
That's so important to do.
And that, you know, follows a great deal also St. Thomas Aquinas. So what we're putting forward, really, it's not anything, in a sense, it's not new. It's sort of with this new evangelization has a new vigor and a renewal happening, seeing it in a new light. But in particular, what the journal would do is, because it's the year of mercy, we've chosen to highlight the kind of the what it looks like and sounds like to follow Jesus by focusing on the works of mercy. So, you know, for our parents, I mean, we know there's no time to hardly fit in anything these days.
Yes.
You know, and you're doing good if you get a few hours peace on a Sunday, you know, when everybody's home.
Sister, you know? Sometimes you're doing good if you have peace on the way out of Mass on Sunday, right?
This is true.
I mean, with a carload full of children, you know, that's an accomplishment sometimes. I just wanted to reintroduce who you might wonder who you're listening to. This is the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Marianne Jepson, Catholic therapist in Columbus, Ohio, and my guest is Sister John Paul, sister of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist from Ann Arbor. So happy to have you with us, sister.
Thank you.
Let's
to be here.
Yeah, let's focus then on the journal itself and where we go with this.
Sure. So our Disciple of Mercy journal, which we mentioned, it is part of our educationinvirtue.com evangelization taking place, has three parts. And the first part, we actually describe each of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And it's very practical because we introduce it, we give each work of mercy a definition, and then we go into a little more depth. And this is immensely important to our families today because really, you know, our children learn from all of the adults in our life. They watch sister, they watch father, they watch the teachers at school, they watch their parents. But we know that especially above all in the family, they learn what type of adults, what type of citizens, what type of future fathers and mothers to be when they grow up. And so we've got to practice as families the works of mercy. They have to see mom and dad doing these things.
Absolutely. You learn best by example.
You
right?
do.
Yes.
And and seeing, you know, how do you do it? And it doesn't mean you're doing them all of the time. You do what you can. And so in the journal, we break down in the first part of it the definitions, a prayer, scripture, and ways in which each of the works of mercy tie back to a practical virtue.
Can we take just one, maybe, of the spiritual works of mercy, sister? How about, I see on page 19, the spiritual work of mercy is to bear wrongs patiently. I love the way this is written out. As you say, it kind of gives a description. It gives a scripture passage, and then it talks about how do we do this? What really does it require to bear wrongs patiently?
Well, can't we all relate to that, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, you know, to bear wrongs patiently, you know, it talks about how to receive cheerfully the inconveniences or the insults, maybe behind, you know, our back, so to speak, or what we know of in front of us, to receive these without judging or maybe talking back, expressing irritation. So an example for us would be in this Maximilian Kolbe. And we know at several times in his life when he was imprisoned, he had to stand before accusers. In many ways, like Christ stood before accusers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he bore it patiently, without speaking back and in charity and accepting that persecution for the sake of Christ. And so in our instruction about how to bear wrongs patiently, we would tie it back to two virtues. Obviously, patience.
Patience.
You know, bearing calmly life's difficulties. And that's applicable in so many ways. And then also meekness. You know, we love the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We talk about Jesus meek and humble of heart, this meekness that we have. And that's meekness is really with a serenity of spirit, focusing on the needs of others around us. It's not about the hurt or the wrong that is coming to me, but it's focusing on the other person, perhaps in an act of forgiveness, mm-hmm. even as they're bearing wrongs.
You know, sister, I like what it says here, too, about it says few people realize that sadness is frequently the result of a lack of patience. Sadness.
That's right.
So if we wonder why we might be sad, take a look. Am I irritated all the time and I react rather than respond in patience, I react in anger or whatever.
Right.
Patience allows us to bear calmly, as you said, life's difficulties and irritations. Without it, we become bitter and restless.
That's right.
I think that's so true. We become bitter and restless. We're scratching at things and wondering what's wrong. And
that's right.
And it just short-tempered about it. Yes,
you know,
and
we lose
our peace.
Yes.
And we then, in turn, cause a lack of peace for everyone around us, don't we?
That's right. That's right. And ultimately, you know, when we're living a life of charity, the fruits of charity includes mercy, mm-hmm. being merciful to others, mm-hmm. and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that we kind of come back to this concept of happiness, right?
Yes.
So sadness really is an indicator of something being wrong.
That's
right.
Something
not being the way it ought to be. And so happiness really is when we're truly, genuinely happy, interiorly happy. That is evidence of right order mm-hmm. inside happening, that peace, and really living in accord with what God intended.
And I think meekness, as it says here, turns a situation of injustice to the good of all. So it would be an injustice. Let's just say that I'm really angry and I go around yelling at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's not their fault. They don't deserve that. I'm being unjust to them. If I can be patient and meek,
that's right.
I can bring good to all.
I can turn
that around. I'm focusing then. I'm thinking then on the others in this situation and not myself.
It's not
about me.
It brings us back to kind of a central principle. You know, there's no evil that God can't bring a greater good out of.
That's right.
And
yes.
So mm-hmm. if we're truly allowing ourselves really to receive grace and trying to be a source of goodness for others, willing their good, then we can bear wrongs patiently, you know, receive and return, respond with meekness, and this greater good happens, which leads them closer to happiness and also puts us closer to happiness.
That's right. Now, we're running a little bit out of time. We're getting close to the end of the show. And I wanted to just talk about how might, I guess
there's a lot here in this journal.
it goes over 12 weeks.
That's right.
It goes over 12 weeks, and so it's once a day. Now, it might be difficult for some people to do this every day.
In fact, so with the journal, there's three parts. So the beginning of it talks about the works of mercy and goes through each one individually with practical ideas on how to implement as a family.
Mm-hmm.
The next step would be a 12-week sort of encounter with Scripture with little promptings to take a gospel message, read through it. And as a family, you could perhaps do this each Sunday.
That's a perfect idea.
Honoring the mm-hmm. Lord's Day. And mm-hmm. as a family, maybe after dinner, a little time of peace, you know, and read, someone could read the Scripture. And then you could have to talk through the questions as a family discussion. And just sort of beautifully, maybe as you go through the following week, talk back about the little things you share together on Sunday.
Perfect.
And so it's a beautiful way. We know we're called to engage Scripture and to share Scripture as a family. I mean, nothing could be more important, really.
And, you know, my math this is a 12-week thing, so mm-hmm. there's 7 days per week. So if you did this, my math is saying this would take you, if you just did it once a week, it would take you 2 years, to close to 2 years. Now, if you could possibly do it twice a week, that would be great, and you could finish this journal in a year. It's a wonderful way to really bring mercy into your family. And you know, sister, there's one thing I really do want to say about this book, which I think the Dominican sisters practiced practiced virtues while writing and producing and distributing this, because you don't get any money back for the sisters, right? This is a very generous project on your part. It's the fruits of your apostolate.
It's certainly an apostolate that is really, you know, as we were coming together and building our schools and educating our parents, you know, we realized these resources were needed to help our families and our young people know what it looks like and sounds like to follow Jesus as disciples of mercy. Mm-hmm. So it is a separate apostolate where, frankly, you know, I don't even know if sister ever made anything yet. You know, we just like to keep giving it and sharing with others. So,
and you can get that again on Amazon.com or educationinvirtue.com.
That's right.
It is well worth your time, and your family and the rest of the world will greatly appreciate you all the more, greatly love you all the more if you start turning your lives around to virtue. Thanks for joining us on the Family Sanctuary and our series on virtuous living. We're so happy to have Sister John Paul, Dominican Sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And our topic for the next discussion that we have with Sister John Paul will be more about discovering happiness. I hope you can join us then. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.